I'm kind of getting emotional at this point, because this is something that I never really, well, I can't say never, I guess, but I didn't really expect to happen. As things changed in my life and I made some of my own mistakes, I thought, well, surely, Lord, I know I've shared with many of you before, surely, Lord, if you intended me to be a preacher, I've gone and messed it up. But what I missed is that when God said that to me, He didn't say, you're going to be a preacher if you do everything right. He said, you're going to be a preacher.
That's right.
And He said it just like that because I come from Arkansas. But to have my father here today to speak to us is a very special thing to me, and I'm sure it's a very special thing to him too. And I know that y'all will be blessed. I asked him to speak on this subject because I think that it will help us understand some of the things we've tried to do in the past and some of the things we might try to do again.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to hearing it myself because it's been a few years. One of the reasons why I wanted him to do it is I didn't feel like I was prepared to do it. So looking forward to it.
Amen.
Come on up here. I'll hand up the microphone to you.
All right. I am glad to be here.
Amen.
And it is kind of special. When your son asked you to come and preach at the church where he pastors.
Amen.
I've looked forward to that for a long time. And I knew when the Lord did tell him, he comes running in 6 years old, weren't you? Come home and said, Dad, he always pops over on the dad's side. I believe I need to go out in the backyard and spend some time talking to the Lord. And I said, okay, son, go ahead. We got a fenced in yard. I'm watching it anyway out the window. We go out there a few minutes, he comes running in all excited. Dad, I said, God spoke to me.
I know, amen.
He said, I won't be preaching.
Amen.
And I said, I'm wonderful, son. never, did I ever question that he really heard the Lord.
Amen.
And many other times when he did the same thing. I remember when he was 6 years old, he started, I think he was six, or no, he was maybe seven. He started a soul winners club, this school, Bible study, Red Brew. I remember, I think I've been six when he said, or seven, somewhere along there, when he said he felt convicted that y'all go out in the neighborhood and do some witnessing. So I watched him behind a tree, so he went and knocked on the door. And they come to the door and he tried to talk to him about Jesus.
Amen.
But he was always about his father's business.
Amen.
He asked me to speak on the subject of plant charismatics and use the word charismatic. I had used it a long time myself. But why charismatics worship the way that they did. I know that it's one of the names that describes a particular kind of service that you might recognize as a service in which people raise hands and clap. Sometimes have spiritual gifts manifested. They might cry, laugh, do all kinds of things, but they get kind of happy in the way that they worship. And they sing songs that are some. I heard some songs here, songs like we sing our songs right there. But it's a kind of service which has one particular aim in it. And it's one purpose. And that purpose is to get into a place where we're in the discernible presence of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen.
Where we actually are aware of Him in such a way that we experience Him in a sensory way. Mm-hmm. You know, our bodies have the five natural senses of smell, hearing, tasting, you know, touch, seeing, and I guess that's all five, but they have the natural senses.
Amen.
But the new creation in Christ Jesus, by the way, we have that one picture of the teaching paradigm, spirit, soul, and body. The new new creation in Christ Jesus, the new spiritual man, he has the same kind of senses.
It's not up.
Not the other. There you go. And you got something in the way. Something in front of it.
You can't.
There you go.
Perfect.
Just a little hand scratching on my part, trying to illustrate the truth. And I'm not going into this. I just want to make a point. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God be sanctified entirely, may the spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete as it comes to the Lord. And it describes a human being as spirit, soul, and body. Right? That makes us the whole of who we are. And verse, if you try to figure out what the heart is, and you look up all the scriptures having to do with spirit, soul, and heart, you'll discover that the heart is simply the thinking part of the human spirit and the part of the soul that involves the things that you embrace and hold to and value. You know, your brain's full of stuff, but you don't value the things in your brain, right? You've heard a lot of garbage, you run into garbage all the time, and your brain records everything. But there are things that you value, you embrace, and pull into who you are. And that part, that inner man, that inner woman, the real you, and the hidden person,
amen.
That is the heart person.
Right.
Really in it.
Amen.
And so when I talk about stuff, the spiritual, you know, you can operate just because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus doesn't mean you lost your will. You still have a free will. And the soul, of course, in the middle there, is primarily, this is more than this, but it's primarily mind, will, and emotions. And it says in Romans chapter 8, if you set your mind on the spirit, you have life and peace. You set your mind on the flesh, on the body, then you reap death. But there's a way you live in which you have your mind set up and you're on the body. That's the natural way of living, the natural man. Now, even though as a new creation in Christ Jesus, you're no longer the natural man. You're the spiritual man.
Right.
You still have your free will.
Right.
You can still choose to walk like a natural man if you want to.
Right.
And it still results in death.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to walk that way, you can. And I recommend you don't. But as a new creation in Christ Jesus, you should be walking as the spiritual man.
Amen.
The spiritual man has his identity. He understands, or she understands who they are in Christ Jesus. And they walk with that understanding. They set their minds on walking that way. When it says set your mind on the Spirit, it's not really talking about Holy Spirit, although you can't do it without Holy Spirit. But it's not really talking about, it's talking about the spiritual way of living, the spiritual man. So anyway, these senses that we have that I'm talking about, our spiritual senses. But you still, you can get in the presence of God where you actually feel.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Holy Spirit actually feels.
Amen.
Yeah. You can get into the presence of God where you actually hear Him.
Amen.
With your words, you hear what He's saying. You also can get into a place where you see. I've had a number of experiences where I saw in the Spirit. And then you can also taste and touch. The smell. I actually smell what I believe would be the incense of the burning of the Holy Ghost. Place, and I smell it. Smell the incense. But you can experience everything in the spiritual man and in the natural man. Now, as a worship leader, and when I say worship leader, that's what I mean. We believe that there are certain people that are called to worship. And worship leaders are not song leaders. You have song leaders for celebration. You have song leaders for groups, meetings, and different things. You have song leaders. But when you come to church, you don't need a song leader. You're
right.
A worship leader.
Right.
And a worship leader's objective is to take the whole congregation and bring them together to a place where they discern the presence of God, where they can, when they experience the Holy Spirit. Now, even though the Father and Jesus are primarily the objectives, whenever you're worshiping, you're centered on them, they come, Father's sat on the throne. He's faithful on the throne. Lord Jesus is in now a resurrected, glorified body. Now, I don't know if you thought about it a whole lot. Jesus became a man. He was and always has been the Word of God. He always has been God. In eternity, before anything existed, He existed, and He was the Word. And when He walked around the earth, before He came down and became a man, when He walked around the earth, He was called different names. He was the one that was speaking out of the burning bush to Moses. That was him that was talking. He's the one that when Moses says, "Show me your glory," and he walked by, that was him. Whenever the angel of the Lord, or the angel of Yahweh, came and talked to Abraham, and after he spoke, he said, "And Yahweh said," when he spoke, this particular angel called the angel of Yahweh is the only one that was said about when he spoke with Yahweh speaking. The other angel spoke, it wasn't Yahweh speaking, but when he spoke, it was Yahweh speaking. That was Jesus before he became a man. He was the one that was down here all the time being involved with mankind before he became a human. Now, he's always, now, when he became a human, he didn't stop being God. I'm not saying anything strange here. But he did become a human being.
Right.
When he became a human being, he became a human being for a purpose. He became a human being not just for the redemption of our sort of salvation is concerned, sort of heaven or not going to hell and having our redeemed from our sins. That's not the only purpose. But he did come to earth to restore to mankind what the first Adam gave up.
Right.
The first Adam has a race of people that are born after his time. He has passed along through his own genes, through his own blood, he's passed along the sin nature.
Amen.
And most of the world has the sin nature.
That's right.
Now, whenever Jesus came along, he came along as the last Adam. Not the second Adam, but the last Adam, because he's the first of a whole new race of people.
Right.
He's the first of his kind. And it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says he works all things together for good. Remember that? And in verse 29, it says, "Why? So that he might be the firstborn among many brethren that look just like him."
Right.
Now, he is the first of his kind. Now, I've got a number two. I'm not number one. But I've also got a number. And millions and millions later, somewhere. But I got a number. And I'm also one of that creation. He was the firstborn of it. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not saying that's strange. He became a human. When he was raised up from the dead, he was a first of his kind of a new creation.
Amen.
And all of us that have been born again, we're of that same kind.
Yes.
Now, you're not a regular human being. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he got on to them. He said, "You're acting like mere humans."
Mm-hmm.
Indicating you're not mere humans. If you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, you're a different race.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the human race. You're a different race.
Amen.
And frankly, I tell you, I'm tired. I'm tired of Christians talking like they're not.
Right.
I get weary of Christians talking about what rotten, no good for nothing they are.
Right.
It's not talking about how they're just so pitiful. They pray, "Lord, I know I'm so miserable, I'm so wicked, you shouldn't even listen to me." Don't insult the Spirit of Grace like that. Don't insult God who redeemed you from that.
Amen.
It made you something new and clean.
Amen.
In his sight. You are righteous in him.
Amen.
Don't go around saying you're not. Receive who you are in Christ Jesus. Be the new creation.
Amen.
And as that new creation, you have a privilege of coming in and experiencing God up close. And the purpose of the worship leader is bring the congregation together to that place. Now, I'm going to present to you a way of doing it just a minute. And I just want you to know the objective. That's the real objective. A sensory experience of God. Paul's on the ground. Jesus is in a glorified, resurrected body. He became a human being, and he's still God, but he became a human being, and he will forever be a human being. The human being sitting on the throne of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. And you're of his kind. And when you get to heaven, say, "We don't know yet what we're going to be, but we do know we're going to be like him."
Right.
The whole work of salvation will be completed then when we get our new bodies. But we will look like him because we're of the same race.
Amen.
Why did God do all this? Why did he create this whole mess? He didn't create the mess. Why did he create the whole universe? He wanted a family.
Right.
The whole thing is that God wanted a family.
Amen.
My son-in-law asked me, he says, "That's fine in the world. We've got to create the world. He already knew what was going to happen. If he knew it was going to be all the sin, if he knew that there was going to be a fall, if he knew all this stuff, like, why would he create the earth?" I said, "Son, that's because it's the cost. That's what it costs. Man, and for man's going to have a free will, and he's going to choose the Lord to love him, he's going to choose to serve him, He has to have the free will to not do it.
Amen.
He has to have the free will to say no. And you can't have a people that love you and choose you unless they have the freedom not to choose you.
Right.
That was the cost of having a family. God wanted a family. Mm-hmm. Bless God, I hope that every one of us here is part of that family.
Amen.
But anyway, this kind of tradition that it comes from, when we say charismatic, that's a word, charisma, charismatic, charisma, gift. Gift is a different word in 1 Corinthians 12. But when we talk about, we're talking about grace gifts, what we're talking about here. But charisma is the word that's built off of. And it is talking about presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, there's other ways to do what I'm about to say, but this is one way. I'm going to use my gift card just a second. I'm not following my notes, so I'm going to do so. I'm not following. I realize that I sat in the congregation, I'm saying, I'm not talking to my church. I'm talking to somebody else. And I need to hear you, Lord, about how to address this people. Because these aren't people that I'm going to appreciate. So I've got to adapt. And so what do you want me to say to these people? And how do you want me to say it? I would say it very different to the people that I don't appreciate. I just want you to be aware of that. But charismatics, the way they worship. Let's see. I'm going to look at my notes a little bit and see where all the stuff I left out real quick. It's true, you know, that all Christians, every Christian, has the Holy Spirit in them. When you became a new creation, what actually happened? Your spirit, soul, and body. But what actually happened is the human spirit, Holy Spirit, that's where you came. Holy Spirit, when you put your faith in Jesus, entered into covenant with him, made him your Lord, Holy Spirit came in and he did a work. Holy Spirit came to your spirit, and he didn't just do this. Your spirit, Holy Spirit, he didn't just do this. He did this. Okay? He was joined to our spirit. He was joined eternally to our spirit. He's going to be with us forever.
Amen.
We're forever joined and merged with and part of God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
And as this new creation, it began a process in which we're becoming something. We're becoming like our wars, what we're becoming. But you know that whenever we got born again, the real change happened there in the spirit. Our soul, our mind, you know, that mind has to be renewed. We have to change our thinking. And sometimes we have to change the way we react to our emotions, too. We have to learn to take charge of the emotions and make them serve us instead of us serving them. When I don't feel like I want to feel, I just decide not to feel that way anymore. And I go to the Lord, I use the authority that I have in Jesus, and I make my emotions obey me.
Mm-hmm.
If I wake up and I don't feel like a Christian, in about 5 minutes I do.
Amen.
If I have this kind of feeling come over me, I don't want, I stop it. Because I don't have to be underneath my emotions. My emotions are me.
Right. Amen.
And I don't have to be a victim of an outside agent that tries to put thoughts in my mind either.
Right.
You know good and well that every thoughts you have doesn't come from you.
Amen.
That's true.
And you know all of them don't come from the Lord either.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? But you have an enemy. Always trying to feed your mind all the time.
Yes.
With stuff.
Yes.
Now, when those thoughts come, I haven't come when I walked before I even got in the building. And I'm coming. As I was coming, I had thoughts come to me that were not of the Lord. And I immediately stopped. I said, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. I will not think that way.
Amen.
Amen.
But you have to be constantly in vigilance
right.
to make sure that your mind remains pure
right.
and
Amen.
Holy
That's
and
true.
Thinking like God wants you to think.
That's right.
Right.
But this thing of change, it happens over time. And this thing, it says in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We have missed it so bad. But we miss what the scripture's talking about most of the time because most Christians don't even realize that they have a doctrine, and I'm not accusing y'all of it, but a lot of churches, they have a doctrine that's a substitute for an experience. They have a doctrine about being born again, but they don't have an experience of being born again.
Right.
They have a doctrine about Holy Spirit, but they have no experience with Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They talk about, they use a word about having a relationship with Jesus because they've learned that word.
Right.
But they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. You hear me? Now, why say, well, the Father's on the throne, Jesus in the body. And they're there. They're not here. Holy Spirit's here.
Amen.
But since Jesus and Father are in Holy Spirit, then Father and Jesus are here too.
Right.
Right? They're all here because of Holy Spirit.
Right.
Holy Spirit brings Father and Jesus to us.
Amen.
Because He's in us.
Right.
And whenever we get in touch with Him, then we're in touch with Father and Jesus too.
Amen.
I have a prayer life in which I talk to Father something, I talk to Jesus something, I talk to Holy Spirit something. I talk to all three. But I know why I hear Jesus. It's because of Holy Spirit. I know why I hear Father. I know why I have fellowship with Jesus and Father. It's because of Holy Spirit. We've got to be in touch with Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. About in this process of renewing our mind and our soul being changed, in the beginning of our Christian life, we imitate. I'm going to have to get on this real quick. But we imitate. We imitate Jesus. We're trying to be like Him. He says to love your enemies, so you try real hard to love your enemies. Not even realizing that there's different words for love. God don't expect you to feel all warm and fuzzy about your enemies. But He does expect you to treat them with love and ashes.
Right.
Agape right. Love doesn't require you to feel anything. It just requires you to act like love acts. Love is in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's only one word there. Hapos is the fruit is one word. It's one fruit. It's not nine fruits. It's one fruit.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit is love. And now all that other stuff is the manifestations of love.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
If you're going to love an enemy or somebody's treating you like dirt, somebody's a big jerk, and they're treating you awful, and you're going to love them, you're going to be kind to them.
Amen.
You may not feel like being kind. You may feel like across the top of the head. Okay? But you're going to treat them with kindness. You're going to be gentle. You're going to be patient.
That's right.
But you're going to do it as an act of your will.
Amen.
That's the kind of love that you have to exercise for your repentance. But you are imitating Jesus. But one day you wake up and you realize, I'm not trying to be kind anymore. I'm kind.
That's right.
I've been changed. It says that Peter says that there's a process by which we become a partaker of the divine nature. And the divine nature is love. But we become a partaker of the divine nature. We become like the one we spend time with. It says there's two ways we become partakers. One through the Word and one through fellowship. Through the Word of God and through fellowship with God. We become partakers of the divine nature and we become transformed and changed. Now part of this thing of worship, again, is to get into that place in Holy Spirit where Holy Spirit can be Himself with us. Now we talk about gifts. We talk about things like gifts of healing or prophecy or any of those gifts of Holy Spirit or the gifts of Father or the gifts of Jesus. There's three sets of gifts. I preach on 29 that I find in the Bible. But we talk about those things. We talk about the gifts of Holy Spirit thinking that it's something like, here, I'm giving you a gift. But that's not what it is. The gifts of Holy Spirit are nothing more than Him expressing Himself in your life. It's Him. He's the healer. He's the miracle.
Amen.
He's the Word of God. He's the prophecy. He's the whole Bible. It's Him. Amen. In us. Now let's get on with this thing. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Romans. In Holy Spirit. I'll see if I can sit back here and be saying. I don't think I can.
Yeah, you can.
I just sat down when I read. Kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in Holy Spirit. You can't have a kingdom without Holy Spirit. Righteousness comes through the manifestation of Holy Spirit. Peace comes through the manifestation of Holy Spirit. Joy comes through the manifestation of Holy Spirit. Righteousness, by the way, I hope you know this already, but righteousness is not being wholly perfect. It's not about being perfect. Righteousness is about being right. You know, my wife and I are right with each other, but I'm far from being perfect. But we are right with each other. So we've got a right relationship. We're not fussing, we're loving. Okay? But being righteous is being right with God. And don't be mistaken about this. It says in 1 John 3, it says, don't be deceived. Those that practice righteousness are righteous. Those who practice sin are of the devil. It says it very plainly. Now, what does it mean to practice righteousness? Comes from letting go. Comes from archery term. The word sin comes from archery term. It literally means to miss the mark. It's archery. You're shooting at a target. It missed. It's missing the mark. If that was a bullseye, that target would circle on. If that's what you were shooting at, what if you're trying to hit that bullseye and you miss? Those that practice righteousness are righteous, even if they miss. You hear that? Not about being perfect. It's about what you practice. Are you practicing being right with God? If you're practicing being right with God, then you're right with God. You hear that? Okay. Now, this kingdom thing. And how do we get in the presence? We're going to use a model. And there you go. I'd like to have that other picture for you now. We're going to use a model. And the model is from Psalms 100. But what it's about is about the high priest entering into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. And that's what Psalm 100 is about. We'll read it here in a second. But this is Psalms 100, verse 1. This is out of the New American Standard. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. These verses are emphasizing the importance of faith steps. We're in a place of faith. Remember what Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him.
That's right.
For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. He rewards those who seek him. You know, he is our own God. He's our source of life itself. Shouting and joyful singing ought to be the result of that. And that's what it's saying. In truth, we do have to be right with God if we're going to go before him. The truth is that righteousness really does have to exist. If you have a sense of condemnation when you try to come before God, either you need to get your thinking right or you need to get your heart right. We either need to confess our sin and agree with him, like it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession means to agree with God.
Right.
Come into agreement. Right? So you're right, God, and I'm wrong. We'll do it your way, so
right.
It's coming into agreement. But if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What do you have when you hear good of unrighteousness?
Righteousness.
And this first matter of business, you're going to come back and have a visit with God. And this is a picture. As you read on, you see it. But this is a picture of Yom Kippur. The high priest dressed up in his garb there. You see the picture. He has a holiness of the Lord written on his hat. He has all this garb on. He has to wash up the labor out here and wash up that priest through and ready to go back. He's taking care of sacrifices first. And he's going to carry a cup of blood and a handful of incense incense burner. But he's taking incense and a cup of blood back where he's going. He's on his way to the rear of the tabernacle. Now that little thing, this is way back before they had a temple. This is a movable tent. But you can see a cutaway of it. That little thing in the back up there is surrounded by fish. And back there in the back, you have, in the front end of that, about 2 feet of it, you have what's called the holy place. And in the rear part of it, you have what's called the holiest of holies, or the holiest place. That's where the ark of the covenant is. A big box of red gold has a lid on it. Comes off, kind of hope chest or something. And it has two statues, a cherubim on the side of it. And right in the middle of it, there's this place where
Lord Jesus before he became the new Word of God, where he's going to come in and sit down on that ark, on that seat. And he's going to have a conversation with the high priest. High priest comes in once a year to have that conversation. You know, there was a point in time when they started tying a rope around that, in case he did something wrong, and pull him out. Because nobody could go back there to him. He was on the one. And you don't got to do that once a year. But he was ready to go back there and have this conversation. Now, in that big ark there, if you took the lid off and looked inside, you see a copy of the Ten Commandments, you see a jar of manna, and you see the rod of Aaron. And these things are evidence for trial. You're going to have court. You're going to have proof. Well, we didn't hear the word of God. Here's the Ten Commandments. This proves you did. Okay? They're always out there on their own. You didn't do anything. No. I took care of you. Here's the jar of manna that proves it. I even made sure your clothes didn't wear out. I took care of you.
Right.
But how do we know? How can we possibly believe in a God we can? I did miracles.
Amen.
I did miracles. See this rod that proves it. I made an old stick. Look how buds on it. You remember that story. But this is the proof. Now, if that lid comes off, they have judgment day.
Right.
But as long as the lid stays on, there's no judgment.
Right.
So once a year, he comes in and he puts blood on top of that. And they receive mercy for another year. Judgment's put off for another year. And then the next year, they do it again. And again, and again, and again. Until around, our calendars are all messed up. But around 30 A.D., Jesus was started, kind of the calendars are messed up. But around 30 A.D., judgment day finally hit. And it was a cross right here. And Jesus hung on it. And he was judged in our place.
Right.
He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's what this is about, though. This song is how to get into that place back there, to have a face-to-face with God, how to be in the presence of Holy God. Now, as you know, when Jesus hung on the cross, it says at one point that curtain that separated the two places, that the high priest had to crawl under on his hands and knees to get there. And it was so thick in the temple that it said a horse on each side of it, on each corner of it, could not even pull it apart. It was that thick. It was like the width of a man's hand. A heavy thing. But that thing was split from the top to the bottom by God.
Amen.
Why? It's to show that no longer is there separation between us and Holy God.
Amen.
Now every one of us can come into the holiest Amen. Place and be in the presence of the Holy God.
Amen.
And his presence. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's what this thing I would like to show you is about. Psalms 100. Also, keep in mind some other things. Let me just read a couple of verses. Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns her head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 5:21. And for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 John 3:7, little children that know him to deceive you, whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. Now do you see that? He is our righteousness, but you got to have righteousness before you can go back there.
That's right.
But he is it. The priest had to have a sacrifice for his own sins before he could go back. We have to have a sacrifice for our sins before we can go back.
Right.
We're going to his presence. You come in, and you're going to be part of a joint service in which that is your purpose, to go in his presence, and you got sin in your life, and you know you do, and it's not something that you're trying to fight against. It's something that you're giving into. It's rebellion. And it's there. You're not going to make it to the Holy of Holies. Because
right.
You're not going to be allowed to go there. You make a choice to live as a natural man, not as a spiritual man. And if that's the case, you don't get to go back there. So first you've got to take care of that. But how easy is that? Really, how easy is that to take care of sin? To get forgiven? It's really pretty easy. Right? Not that hard at all. Because God's not trying to push us away. He's trying to draw us to it. So he's willing to do this. But once you've done that, then there's the steps that you go through. He says, I will enter his gates
back-to-back, with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his courts with praise.
Amen.
The gates is on the outside of the whole thing. You're going through the outer wall there. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. He's on his way back there for worship. It's going to occur. But it starts off with thanksgiving. And it really, the thanksgiving is because of what? Those sins have been forgiven, for one thing. Now, I'm going to show you some songs in a minute about what that looks like. But there is a nature to songs. They have a nature, they have a quality about them. Not all songs are thanksgiving songs. Not all songs are praise songs. Not all songs are worship songs. Now, we have some good things that went on here before, but that was mostly proclamation, rejoicing, celebration, looking to the future about what's going to happen, you know, and that makes you feel thankful a lot of times. But they're good. They're good songs. They're good things to do. But thanksgiving has its own particular quality. And it says, I will enter his gates. You're on your way to the holy place now. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And then I'm on my way to the place where I'm going to worship. So let's just look at some stuff. Thanksgiving. What does thanksgiving look like? Whenever a church, a praise or worship leader, when they have the freedom to do so, and somebody trusts them enough to let them be led by the Holy Spirit, they'll choose what they're going to sing. And they'll follow a pattern in order to bring everybody with them. Now, hopefully, up to that point, there's been something to let people know about dealing with their sin, and they're already adept with their sin. Have you messed this up? I don't think so.
It's not charging.
Just listen to the song and see if you can see any of the quality of being thankful. Okay? It's done, yes, it's done. It's done, yes, it's done. Through the precious blood of Jesus, the battle is won. It's done, yes, it's done. Yes, it's done. In the precious blood of Jesus, the battle is won. A good worship leader can sense when the congregation, as a majority of the congregation, have thankful hearts. Now, it's true, there's always going to be some slackers and some people that don't go along with the program. There's always going to be some people that remain in their rebellion, too. There are always going to be people that come into the congregation that are really lost, and they leave lost, right? And they don't participate in what's going on. But you have to have, if you're going to bring a whole congregation into that place where the Holy of Holies is, you got to have enough of them involved in the process, or the whole won't experience it. Now, individuals can experience it. You can go by yourself. But if a congregation as a whole is going to experience it, when that happens, everybody there experiences it, including the lost person.
Amen.
They'll feel the presence of God, too. Right. But you got to have enough people involved in the process in order for that to happen. So if you don't have it happen in your congregation, either you're not being led there, or you're not participating.
Now, the charger's not working.
Once they're thankful, then there's you're ready for praise.
Oh, it didn't work.
Now, there's praise music. Has
if you hold it down, it doesn't work if I hold it down.
And I want
to go. About 8%.
Now listen to this. Lovely. You're praying.
I think it's going to be.
Thou, Lord, all the shield about me, you're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Thou, Lord, all
Put a shield about me, you're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. 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 You're the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're the lifter of my head.
Now, one of the things about this whole thing, Thanksgiving is to the Lord. Praise is to the Lord. You're not singing about Him. You're singing to Him. He's the object of the praise. Get that? A lot of our songs are not to Him. They're about Him. And that's good. I mean, you need to sing about Him. We need to proclaim truth. It's a good thing. But when you're trying to get into the presence, you need to make the approach that gets you there. And praise has a promise that goes along with it. When enough of the congregation is involved in praise, there's a promise in songs. And I'm going to find, let me see if I have to follow my notes. Let me find my scriptures here. There's a promise. Pull it out here. Did I pass 2 or 3 pages for it? Probably did. Let me just quote what I remember. I was going to do it in different translations. Most of the time I'm sitting down, and it's a whole different experience when I'm sitting down. But yeah, this way it goes. It says it's different translations that makes it more clear. Because you can see the various ways. The Jubilee translation probably does the best, but I don't have that memorized. New American Standard says that God inhabits the praises of Israel. Now, in the actual language, in the Hebrew language, it makes it very, very clear. It's not talking about His name. It's talking about Him. That He actually shows up in the praises and manifest Himself and is there. He's there among them, with them. Now, you remember a scripture that says, when 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Remember that? Okay. Jesus is doing the call. He says, when 2 or 3 of us are gathered together in His name, He's in the midst. Now, what does it mean to be in the midst? It doesn't mean He's there inside of you. It means He's moving around among you. He's in the midst. Now, it's true that He's in you. Because the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus is your Lord, He's in you through Holy Spirit. Amen. But when that promise is given, that's saying, I'm going to be moving around among you and doing it. Now, that's Holy Spirit too. He's going to be moving around among us and doing stuff. Is that the way you want to have church? Where He's moving around doing stuff?
Yes.
That's the way I want to have church. Praise God. But that's the promise. And how does that come? That comes through praise. God manifests Himself in response to true praise in people. Now, praise, let's say a couple things. Praise is not a form. If we start involving ourselves in just forms and deny the power thereof, you know, Scripture talks about that too. You can practice forms but not have the power that goes along with the forms if they're just forms. You can sing praise songs and it not be out of your heart and not be out of a thankful heart. And if it's not out of a thankful heart, and they're just words, there's no promise fulfilled. There is no manifest presence. It's got to be in truth. Now, Jesus said one time where was that? The 5th chapter, maybe John, I don't remember right now. It's the woman at the well time. Fourth chapter of John. And He says at one point, the Father seeks worshipers. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, spirit and truth, what's that all about? Well, you know, we've got a feel for what spirit is, right? We're talking about our spirit, right? And it says in truth. In other words, it's got to be real us, being really honest. And it's got to be real. And that's really what's talking about. It's got to be real. It can't be a form. It has to be real. Amen. And it's only real if it's from your heart.
Right.
It's only real then. We can set up, go through all forms, and churches are famous for having forms, and we have all the forms we want,
But if it's not real, and by the way, you can have lots of different kinds of forms, and he'll still show up if your heart's right. You know? And what I'm saying is not the only way to get in the Holy Ghost. There's other ways to get there, too. I'm just giving you one way, but it's a good way. Okay? It's a good way. But this praise that's from a real heart, really meaning it, enough of you together, you'll have a manifest presence that comes over the whole congregation. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that Jesus is moving among you. Doing stuff. And that's when you have miracles. That's when you have healings. That's when you have words from the Lord. So we have prophecy. You have all kinds of things happening here just now. Revelation knowledge. The things that you've been wanting to know from God that you haven't talked to you about. You know what I'm saying? You get in His presence. Guess what? He's ready to talk. It's just because we've gotten to a place where we're ready to hear what's going on. Now, the difference between praise songs and worship songs is not all that much difference. There's a little difference, but not much. But the real issue is that we're aware of it. If you're aware of it, you can worship. If you're not aware of it, this is a little hard for you to hear. There's a general sense of worship, the meaning of the word worship, that everything we do out of the right kind of attitude, right kind of heart, to glorify Him. Our work, everything we do, the way we eat, the way we, everything we do can be called worship. Now, there's a sense in worship, and it means that. But there's a specific sense for what I'm talking about in His presence. And worship, in that sense, is totally different. And you cannot worship in that way until you become aware of Him. If you're not aware of Him, you can't worship. You have to be aware of it to worship. If I know different ones of you have had the kind of experience I'm talking about, where Holy Spirit was so real to you, He was so present that you when you were beyond yourself, you went off. Maybe you wept and cried, maybe you fell on your face. You might have done any number of things, but you just, God's here. And you've had that experience. That's what I'm talking about. When you have that kind of awareness of Him, what do you want to do? You don't want to start asking questions, usually. All you want to do is adore Him. You don't want to adore Him. What happens when people are involved with the Holy and the Scriptures? They end up falling on their face, falling on their knees. They get overwhelmed by the Holy. And that's what happens to us. You're going to get overwhelmed by the Holy. But there's not much difference, like I said, in the song. But let me give you a worship song. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. I worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give You praise. For You are my righteousness. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. I worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is all I want to do. I give You praise, for You are my righteousness. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. There is none like You. There is none like You. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
You, but I kind of sense the presence a little bit.
Amen.
It's hard, is He? He's here.
He's here. He sure is. Yeah. And there's another word for presence that I haven't used. It's called glory. It's
the glory of God. We see scriptures that talks about the glory of God being manifested, but that's what we're talking about. Talking about the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. Where you're experiencing with your senses. Now, why do charismatics the worship the way they do? Larry? Because that's what we're after.
Feel His presence.
We're after His presence. And we found some ways to get there. And we've learned that there are patterns, there's ways to go about it. There's conditions of the heart, there's attitudes that have to be reached. And we found out there's a path to get into the presence of God. That's why we do it. That's why we don't just speak songs out of a hymn book. That's why we don't just have a... And there's, again, there's a time for everything. There's time for all kinds of music. You know, we get together for singing. We all have specials and we do stuff. And it's fun. And it's celebration. And it's fellowship. Okay? It's good. Good thing. But when we want to go into the holy place and get into the holy place, there's a way to get there. And even though all that other stuff, enjoyment, and it accomplishes purpose, it rarely accomplishes that purpose, getting this perfect. Now, in my church, Larry, you want them to pull it? Or not?
What time is it?
4:00.
Yeah, we probably need to wrap it up pretty quick.
Let me say one or two words and then I'll surrender if you want. Do you want to have a song service or do you want to have worship service? When you know, you're counting for what you know. Hear me? When you know what God wants, you're accountable. To do something about it. I don't know whether everybody hears what I've said, or if you agree with it, but it is the truth. What I've told you is the truth. And since it is the truth, you're accountable to do something with it. Yeah. You've got worshipers, if you're not, I know a lot of you are worshipers, and I know that a lot of people worship in private, and they don't get the privilege of doing it in church sometimes, but they do it in private because they love the Lord. I worship at my desk, called it. I sit there, my hands are open, praising God. Sometimes tears are flowing, and I'm just enjoying myself in His presence. And I know people do that individually. But as a church, you have to do it on purpose. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being present. Thank you, Holy One, for speaking to our hearts, for causing us to be able to know you. Sense you, experience you. You are holy God. Lord Jesus, thank you for sinning. Thank you, Father, for giving. Thank you, Most High God, Yahweh Elohim. Thank you. Thank you for making it possible for us to be sons and daughters of God. And for us to be able to know our God. Holy One, we commit ourselves to surrender ourselves to knowing you more and more and more. Lord God, to become your instruments in the earth, to be your mouth, to be your hands, to be your vessels in the earth that are filled with your glory, that are filled with your grace, to dispense in other people's lives. Jesus, be glorified in us. Have your way in us. Be Lord in us. Be exalted in us. Lord God, and you receive the glory in us. And we pray in the most loving name. In the blood covenant name of Jesus.
Amen.
There, you want to take it? The pastor.